Since the beginning of Advent, we've been in cycle B of our lectionary readings, which is the Gospel of Mark. And you may have noticed this morning, all of a sudden, the Gospel is from John. What's up with that? Well, the short answer is that Mark, being the first Gospel written, is also the shortest. So we need something to get us through a few weeks so that the Gospel of Mark can get us through the entire liturgical year. And so from now until the end of August, we're going to be hearing from the Gospel of John. This is commonly referred to as the Bread of Life Discourse. The church chose these readings very specifically, and they weren't just thrown in to fill out the time to make Mark last. These readings on the Bread of Life Discourse, where Jesus teaches us about the Eucharist, are foundational to everything we do. Father Dan has talked and mentioned several times that we should be an evangelizing community. Well, if you know people that have always wondered about the Catholic faith, if you know people that have fallen away or don't understand what the Eucharist is about, this is one of the best evangelization tools you can have, because Jesus himself is going to teach us about the Eucharist. It explains so many things over these next several weeks. You know, all of us at times have had the experience of having someone tell us we should eat something that we don't like before it's good for us. I still have people telling me I should eat broccoli and Brussels sprouts and asparagus, and it's, no, I don't think so. But if you want something to eat that is good for you, there's nothing better than the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was another saying I heard a lot growing up, and I suspect you may have as well. You are what you eat. Wow. If we consume the body and blood of the Lord, what does that make us? Over time, more and more and more like him. If we receive that body and blood of Christ with a proper mindset, and more importantly, with a proper heart set, it can work wonders in us. It can transform us little by little into what Jesus wants each one of us to be. I spent some time this past week wondering, why in the Bread of Life Discourse does Jesus feed the people first? And I was out at the migrant camp this past Wednesday, and we always go through the readings for the upcoming weekend and take time to talk and reflect about them. And someone had a particularly good insight, I thought. Well, Deacon, you know they have to take care of the people's physical needs before they'll hear him even talk about their spiritual needs. And I thought that was a little unusual at first. But then I remembered that we've had mission priests here at different times. And they too spoke about having to feed the poor and take care of their physical needs before they were able to hear and understand about their spiritual needs. That's part of the human condition. We always have to make sure that we have something to eat, something to drink. But to look at it from that perspective, I thought was very unique. And it teaches us that we have to do the same thing. We don't see all that many people that are visible here in Livingston County that need something to eat, but I can tell you our food pantry here does a thriving business. There are many people who need to supplement what they have or simply can't get by with what they do have. So that food pantry, for us as a community and all that contribute to it, mimics what Jesus did in the feeding of the 5,000. We have to take care of those around us so that they're able to hear the gospel message. That if we're Jesus through them and to them, we make all the difference in the world to their lives. And so it's always important to contribute to those things. It's important to get involved. It's what Jesus calls us to do. That's what he expects of us. This body and blood, soul and divinity of Christ is powerful. If we accept it, if we're given the courage to stand up and use that, we can make changes that we could hardly believe. It isn't always easy. It isn't always comfortable. But it wasn't always easy or comfortable for Jesus either. It's what we have to do. It's part of what's in our hearts. You know, we all have that little spark. Some people call it conscience. I call it a spark of the Holy Spirit that makes us different from all the other creatures in creation. We have to listen to that. We have to follow what it draws us to. We have to be what we were created to be. Many years ago, when my sons were young, they used to watch a TV show called He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. And this prince would turn into He-Man and go about battling all the bad guys. And we knew all about this from our times at the Toys R Us or whatever, because our kids had almost every one of those figures that they ever made. But we would go and be there when we knew that they were going to be stocking, so that as they took them out of the box, we could get the new ones they didn't have yet. But the point is, when the prince turned into He-Man, he would raise his sword and say, "I have the power." And what I'm telling you is that by your baptism, by your consuming of the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus, you have the power. What will you do with it?